Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I'd like to start with a story. As I did last week, I told a story about someone who was not me, and this week I'll tell a story about someone who is not me. It's interesting because she's here today, and I didn't tell her that I was going to talk about her today. But Beth had an experience that I'd like to share with you. If you've been watching the news this weekend, you have likely heard about Hurricane Matthew and the devastation certainly in Haiti, but even some of the dangerous things that have happened as a result of the storm and water and winds as it's come up the eastern seaboard of the United States. And it may bring back for you memories of other devastating hurricanes that have affected our country, and I'm thinking specifically of Hurricane Katrina. And many folks may not remember the hurricane that followed, Hurricane Rita, especially in the area of the Gulf Coast. Beth had an opportunity to go with, I think it was a United Methodist Volunteers and Mission Team, to Louisiana shortly after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita went through the area. And some of the things that she has described with me, and I'd encourage you, I didn't check in with you on this, I'd encourage you to ask her about her experiences about this. She told me stories of going into this community, sort of driving to their work site, and as they drove through these communities, she would see these foundations that had no house on them, not because the bulldozers had already been through, but because the storm simply wiped them away. Or houses that have spray paint on the side, not because of vandalism, but sort of as a warning for those who might be coming into the community to offer aid, that there may still be human remains in that house. Imagine that kind of place that has been so devastated by natural disaster. And imagine what it might feel like to see those things and the emotional and spiritual violence that you might observe. Now, there are no shortage of stories of people who endured those storms, and you may have heard either through news or even personal connection about some of the difficulties of persons who lived in those communities. And yet Beth also shares with me that so many of the folks that she had the opportunity to speak with one-on-one would talk about the immense joy and power that they experienced, a divine power, as they would talk about it, of seeing people to come and be in their communities. Not only to be in the community as a presence of rebuilding, but a presence of love and care and support. And I would submit, certainly from the stories that I've heard, that ministry of presence, of praying with people, of telling people you're not alone, just as we heard in the beautiful anthem, that this was just as important to members of that community as the rebuilding that was done, the cleaning out that was done. We might see this kind of importance with a ministry of presence when it comes to other communities that have experienced violence. When we have known about communities that have experienced violence either in riots or police violence or all of those mixed up, communities that have experienced domestic violence, communities that have experienced terrorist-related violence, that so often when persons come to be a prayerful or caring or spiritual or just a presence to show a community that they're loved and not forgotten about, that is a critically important ministry. I submit that it's that way for things that, you know, perhaps aren't all that negative either. One of the things that that I experienced as a kid growing up. There's this one family in our church, and they would always invite literally everybody to their house for Thanksgiving and Easter. Like, everybody was invited. And not everybody showed up, but there were usually 5 to 7 families who would show up at this one house. So, of course, we had all the extra tables that we borrowed from the church and all the extra chairs that we borrowed from the church. And I may have talked about this before. The same person would usually tell the same story about the one time that somebody burned the marshmallows on the candied yams. And somebody would always bring that specific raisin kind of gravy goodness that went on something or other. But it was... it was this thing where, as I grew up and sort of began developing some of my own traditions where, you know, spend time with a different family member or a different family altogether, I would sort of miss being there. We still go back to that particular house from time to time, though not as often as I did in my youth, but it's an amazing thing to be a part of that community. And I submit that our community of faith, that our presence is critically important. It is important for us to recognize that we're connected in our community. And this is something that's not new in this day and age. You know, although we in these, you know, 2000s in 2016 have so many ways to connect, whether it's digitally or in person, I, for one, find that those face-to-face times to spend with people have more impact and even meaning for me than the important digital methods of connection as well. But again, this is not a new thing for us to treasure this kind of connection. And so I'm going to invite Joan to read a scripture for us. This is out of the second chapter of Acts. And in terms of the context of this scripture, the first chapter of Acts is some of the final teachings of Jesus after the resurrection, some of the times that he spends in the community of the disciples. Then the very first part of Acts chapter 2 is the Pentecost moment where the community of disciples are gathered together in an upper room and they're sort of afraid of some of the stuff going on around them, but they experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And then shortly after that are these verses that tell us about the very early community of the church. Let's hear it.
The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved.
I think there's a lot that we could potentially get into with this particular text. And what I'd invite you to focus on is the very opening passages. And if you need to see them again, they're actually on the front of your bulletin. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. People were present with each other. They spent time with each other. They spent every single day with each other. Now, in case you're worried, I'm not asking you to spend every day with the people who are here today. But I am asking you to recognize the importance of this community. Ask yourself this question, and it's the same question I asked the children about Sunday school. When you look around the room at folks who are here today, perhaps consider an earlier Sunday where maybe somebody that you see here today wasn't here. And ask yourself, how did I feel when I got to church and I saw that that person wasn't here? Did I miss him? Maybe if you look around the room right now, there's somebody who you have seen before, who perhaps sat near you before, who's not here today. Ask yourself, Do I miss him? Is something missing in our community of faith when somebody's not here? Now, I don't mean for this to sound like a guilt trip. We all have to take some time away from time to time, and that's a good thing. I want you to know that there have been a few folks that I've been reaching out to over the course of these last couple of months. I'm not going to get into the specifics of who, because I don't have their permission to tell that story, and it's different when you tell a story about your spouse. So I'll tell these particular stories a little bit vaguely, but there's one person who had a hospital stay and hasn't been back since, and I I reached out to that person and said, listen, I just want to check in and I want to make sure that you're okay. This person responded gratefully, yes, I'm okay. I'm not quite ready to come back. There's still some healing to be done, but I'm grateful that you connected with me, and I want you to know that I'm grateful for the prayers of the church. Now, notice that when I reached out to this person, it was just, hey, I want to check in with you. I want to make sure that everything's okay. There's another couple that I reached out to who turns out they had a medical thing that came up, and they said, well, you know, we're still dealing with this medical thing, and so we can't come back yet, this couple and their children. But again, the response is one of gratitude, because the way I reached out was, I just want you to know that you're missed and that we care about you and that we miss you. And if there's anything that I can do as your pastor, if there's anything that we as a community of faith can do for you, you know, please let me know and we'll do everything we can for you. And like I said, the response was one of gratitude. Thanks for reaching out. I really appreciate that. We plan to be back, and when the time is right for our family, you know, medically and situationally. But what would it look like if we took part in something like that? What would it look like if we noticed that someone who very often sits in the same pew or sort of section, because I notice you're all in your assigned seats again today. What would it look like if when we notice that somebody's not here, we made a phone call? Hey, I noticed that you weren't in church. I'm not trying to pressure you. It's not about that. I want you to know that I missed you, and I want to check in with you and make sure that everything's okay. What would it look like if we did that? How would you feel if somebody called you and said, I missed you today. I care about you, and I just want to make sure there's nothing that you need. I want to make sure that you're okay today. How would you feel if somebody called you with that kind of a message? I bet you it would be different if somebody called with you, well, you know, our numbers are down in church, and I noticed that you weren't there, and you really need to be there so we can have our numbers up at church. Please don't ever make that phone call. I'm serious. I don't want to bully people into coming to church, but I do want for us to recognize the importance of community, and that when our community has members missing, that we're all affected by it. Those who are missing are affected by it. Those who are here are affected by it. And when we continue to reach out to each other and connect with one another, we have an opportunity to strengthen that sense of community and connection. I believe that God calls us together in community and connection. And I think that by strengthening that community and connection, we strengthen our participation with our faith, our participation with our God. Now, the truth is our numbers are down a little bit. If you look, I made a copy of this. If you look at our most recent newsletter, if you don't have it, it's on our website. We emailed it out last week. It shows that our numbers in terms of worship attendance are down a little bit. Now, that's an important metric that sometimes people will establish or not establish, but sort of assess the vitality of a congregation. Here's the other thing that's on that same page when we look at, you know, our worship attendance is down a little bit. Our attendance for our important Wednesday night ministry, our San Diego Project Grace, is up. You know how that lands for me? Although there are fewer people in worship, there are more people in our community who are served by this good congregation. I think when we look at vitality, that might be an important part of it. Now, it's important to continue to, you know, look and see, are there things that we need to do differently? And I think this is a vitally important congregation. And part of the way that we show that vitality is the way that we maintain our connection to one another. Part of the way we express that vitality is by caring for each other. We do it in our Sunday schools. We do it in worship. You know, one of the ways that we do that is just by gathering together after church, when we have our fellowship time, when we have refreshments and cookies and juice, and people hang out and have conversations. It's that sense of community that very often is more important than the person who stands up in front and talks for 20 minutes. It may or may not. I'm not sure I want to say it's entirely more important than the music. I'm not willing to go, you know, that far. But seriously, the connection that we have together is important. And we express that connection in so many ways. Now, if you're someone who's, you know, maybe here for the first time, or maybe someone who's, you know, here on and off, I don't want you to be put off by this thing that I'm going to ask you all to do, and I'm going to ask you all to do something. And it's one thing that's wrapped up into a couple of ways. I'd like you to be ready, in a second to take about 30 seconds to talk to some of the people around you. And there are two things that I want you to say. Now, if you're anything like our last worship service, you're going to say a lot more, and I'll have to tell you that it's time to be quiet and come back. But the two things that I want you to say this to several of the people around you. One, I'm glad you're here today. I hope that you'll say it and mean it, okay? But that's the first thing I want you to say. I want you to say this to some of the people around you. I'm glad that you're here today. And two, when you're not here, I miss you. And so I'm glad you're here. So I'd invite you to take 30 seconds to just have those short conversations right now, and then I'll draw you back. I'm pretty sure it's been well over 30 seconds, and one of the beautiful things about this congregation is that any time we have this time to talk to each other, where it's the greeting time or I spring something like this on you, we have trouble not talking after we get started. I am interrupting, I agree. There's a few more things I'd like to say, but here's the thing. These conversations that you just started, and I realized that I interrupted, please continue these conversations. Please continue this connection. I'd like to invite you all to join me for lunch. Now, I'm not buying you lunch, but if you bring one of these flyers with you to Rubio's today, you'll not only support our youth group, but you'll continue these conversations, you'll continue this connection, you'll continue this opportunity to lift up the community that has been drawn together in this place. This community is important. You may not know this, but almost every single Sunday after the second worship service, there's a group, and it's sort of a group of rotating membership. There's a group that goes out to lunch. Sometimes there's a couple of groups that go out to a couple of different places. If that's something you'd like to join into, talk to anybody, because there's almost all of us who know at least a little bit of something about where's the group going today, and we like to switch it up because we have people of varying tastes. And if, you know, for whatever reason, maybe going out to lunch every single week maybe isn't the right thing for you, please participate in our community sort of fellowship time with some lemonade and some cookies and whatever. Take that time to maintain this connection. And here in this, I'd like to offer you a challenge. And if you remember this whole series on stewardship, I'm calling Plus One. Last week, when we talked about prayer, I invited you to increase the number of times that you're in prayer each week. But I'd like you to plus one your presence as well. If you're someone who comes to church twice a month, great. But I'd like to invite you to make it three times a month. If you're somebody who comes to church three times a month, great. But I'd like you to plus one, and I'd like you to choose to come four times a month. If you're someone who comes four times a month, but, you know, October's got five Sundays, so you got one off. I'd like you to come every Sunday. If you're somebody who already comes every single Sunday, there are lots of opportunity to increase your presence anyway. One of those might be to come to our San Diego Project Grace, our Wednesday night ministry. One of those might be to come to the Sunday school that happens at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. There are lots of opportunity for us, even if you come every single Sunday to Plus One, to add to your presence. Because I submit to you that our presence is an important part of our faith. Whether we are official members of this congregation, or we're, you know, ones who, for whatever reason, membership isn't right, but we're regular participants in the community, I submit that we're in this community and have offered ourselves into the covenant of the community to support the ministries of the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And I'm not sure that any one of those is more important than the other. Last week, I invited you to pray for your church. Today, I invite you to be present in your faith community, to be present in your church, and whatever way is the right way for you to increase that presence. You know, there's another way that I'd invite you as well to help lift up the strength of this community of faith, and it's something that you've already done. I know that you've already done it because I just watched you do it. You said to someone, "Hey, I'm glad that you're here, and when you're not here, I miss you." Last service, Dart Rhodes came and she talked about presence in a similar way that Joan did. But one of the things that Dart said is she mentioned that she's on a building community team. You may have seen in the recent newsletter, our building community team is looking for a little bit of help to reach out to some folks when they haven't been here a little while. Not in a high-pressure kind of way, but to simply say, we notice that you're not here. I want you to know that we miss you. I want to check in and see if there's anything that you need. You've already had practice doing that today. So if that's something that you might be willing to do, Dart will be around after service. She's in the nursery right now. Heidi Trimble, I think, is teaching Sunday school right now. You could talk to her. You'd be welcome to talk to me. If that's something you'd feel comfortable doing, to make a phone call or send an email when we notice that some folks aren't here, I'd ask for your help in doing that. And in this way, we can continue to remind one another of the importance of this community of faith. Joan said it really well. I believe that we're stronger together than we are when we're separate. And sure, there are great reasons for us to be separate from time to time. And when we are gathered together, there is a spiritual power that is in this place. I invite you to be open to that spiritual power as we close. Friends, as a community, we join together in prayer. Holy and gracious Creator, we are glad for the bonds of strength and love that you not only place within us, but through which you draw us together. In this community, we may support one another in times of difficulty and celebrate and laugh with each other in times of joy. This day, we come to you with the prayers of this community. Holy God, we lift up all these things to you and any prayers that have been left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.